our bodies are quite photoreceptive, right? They're quite photosensitive. And the easiest kind of metaphor for that is that, you know, you go out in the sun, you get a suntan, or if you're out there for too long, you get sunburn. That's your skin reacting to the light. And that's your body reacting to the light. So what scientists accidentally figured out in the early 1900s or so was that, you know, red light actually affects the human body in very, very positive ways. So what happens is the red light penetrates your skin, and near infrared light is actually able to penetrate deep into your body. And it goes to about a depth of about 2 inches or 5 centimeters into the body. Okay, and when it does that, we've discovered through the help of science is that our cells absorb the light, and two very, very important things then happen inside our cells.
You just heard the voice of Brian Goll, biohacker, founder of Heavy, and co-founder of Red Light Rising. In this incredibly informative and educational episode, you will learn all about red light therapy and its incredible benefits. You will also discover just how detrimental blue light, which is emitted from our devices, is for our overall health. If you're ready to biohack your way to a healthier life by learning about a cutting-edge method of therapy, then stick around, because this episode will change your whole outlook on how we use light for our own health and well-being. Welcome to the show. My name is Ali West, and since 2008, I've been working in the health and fitness industry. In the space of just under 10 years, I went from being a glorified treadmill cleaner to the owner of my own 9,000 square foot gym, Kinetic Fitness, here in Nottingham in the United Kingdom. Plus, helping thousands of people along the way, both offline and online, to improve their health and well-being. Since 2015, I've been on my own journey of self-discovery, learning how to improve, optimize, and master my mental, physical, and spiritual health on the deepest levels. Now I want to help you do the same by sharing my own wisdom and the wisdom of some of the brightest minds in health, fitness, nutrition, biohacking, and spirituality, so you can become optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. If you're ready, then let the show begin.
Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Ali West.
Hello, and welcome to episode 111, 111 of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. I feel like my guest today has got a great episode number, 111, 111. It's got a great ring to it, and it's a powerful number with the three ones. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I am super grateful to have you on board listening in today. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, then welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener or even a regular listener, then welcome back. Today, we are going to cover a fascinating topic, which is light, but in particular, red light therapy and the powerful and incredible benefits that it can have on your overall health. But before I introduce my guest today and I tell you a little bit more about what you will learn in today's episode, I just want to share some important announcements as well as messages from our sponsors. I'd love for you to listen to them, as they will help you, they'll help me, and they'll also help our sponsors. But if you do decide to skip over this part, then all the links can be found in the description of this podcast episode. My first announcement is that we have a big celebration coming up for this podcast. At the end of this month, this podcast, The Kinetic Fitness Show, will be 3 years young. Yes, I can't quite believe it either, but it's a huge milestone and another epic milestone for myself and for the podcast and for all of the listeners, for all of you guys listening in, for the fans of the show, the people that have been with me through thick and thin from the beginning. Then this is a huge milestone for all of us. Even if you're new to the show or you've only just listened to a few episodes, it's a big milestone. 3 years is epic. I can't quite believe that I've made it that far, but I'm super blessed, super grateful to every listener that I've had, to every guest that's come on the show, and I am blown away that I've made it this far. But I have. The podcast is going to be 3, and with this in mind, I'm going to be giving away some huge, amazing prizes. And I'm going to share with you now on this episode what some of these prizes are. This isn't all of the prizes, but I'm going to list a few of them. And this is all going to one lucky listener. One person will win all of these prizes as a celebration for the podcast being 3. So here are some of the prizes that you could have a chance of winning. You do have a chance of winning them, but one lucky person is going to win all of these prizes plus more. So here are some of the prizes: a 1-hour coaching session with me, a Mudo Health DNA testing kit, a nasal t-shirt courtesy of Lee Ewing and nasal.io, an Oxygen Advantage sports mask courtesy of Oxygen Advantage, a signed copy of Ricky Warren's book, New Age Yoga, a month's supply of Shilajit, a month's supply of nootropics and vitamin D from Myoband, a bottle of Hunter & Gather's MCT oil, which I personally use in my bulletproof coffee, a year's access to the Fitness Mavericks training app. I recently recorded a podcast episode with the Fitness Maverick, so that one will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Amazing episode, so keep a lookout for that one. Also, a sacred geometry drawing courtesy of Thigh Mandalas, my brother Paul, who's been on the podcast twice before, so make sure you go and check out those episodes. I've also just had confirmation from Luke Taberski, who's been on the podcast, that he is going to give a signed copy of his book to the lucky winner, plus many more amazing prizes. So the total value of these prizes is getting on towards £1,000 in value. It's high value, and you can be within a chance of winning all of these incredible prizes. So to enter this prize giveaway, you have to firstly be following this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. You have to be following me on Instagram, Ali West Coach. You have to have liked the Facebook page, which is the Kinetic Fitness Show on Facebook. And all the details of how to enter this competition will be shared via the social media channels. So make sure you give me a follow on Instagram and like the Facebook page as well. Okay, secondly, I'm asking for your help and support. I have recently launched a crowdfunding campaign for this podcast, for the Kinetic Fitness Show. This podcast is now at the point where we need to take it to the next level. This means improved audio, visual, editing, hosting, marketing, and promotion, as well as attracting amazing guests to appear on the show, just like my guest today. All this comes at a price, and off the back of the pandemic, my business and the podcast have taken a little bit of a hit. Cash flow has been reduced, making it increasingly difficult to reinvest and grow the show. I've also lost a couple of potential sponsors for very similar reasons. Therefore, I'm asking for your help and support so that this podcast can reach and inspire even more people all around the world. If you could make a donation, no matter how small or large, to support me and the show via the crowdfunding campaign, I would be forever grateful. I will also give you a shout out on the podcast and on social media to anyone who donates. This is an emotional and mental battle for me because I hate asking for money. But in these unprecedented times, even a dollar would go a long way to upgrading my show and ultimately upgrading your experience as a listener. You can donate easily and simply via the crowdfunding page, and the link to that is in the description of this episode. Please leave me a personal message, or if you prefer to remain anonymous, you can do, and either way is absolutely cool. Much love and thanks in advance, and now I would just like to give a big shout out to the people who have donated so far, who are as follows: Andrew, Sam, Ali, Fiona, Cheryl, Ruth, Gus, Oye, Nathan, Daniel, Bryn, and James. Thank you so much for your ongoing support, and these donations mean everything to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for donating to my podcast. I would now like to mention the sponsors of the show. So please listen to these announcements from our sponsors, because you can get yourself some incredible discounts from our sponsors. So our first sponsor is Pure Himalayan Shilajit. Shilajit is an ancient mineral from the Himalayas, which has been used in the East for its powerful benefits for thousands of years. Shilajit helps to increase your energy and mental performance, plus many other benefits. I've personally been using Shilajit for a while now, and I've noticed improvements in my cognitive performance and energy levels. I'd love for you to benefit from this powerful ancient mineral, so I've partnered up with my good friends over at purehimalayanshilajit.com, and they are offering every listener of the show a 15% discount off any order of Shilajit. Simply hit the link in the description of this podcast, place an order, and at checkout, put in the code Ali West. That's Ali West, A-L-I-W-E-S-T, Ali West at checkout to bag your discount. Our second sponsor is Mudo Health. Mudo are a DNA testing company, and they make testing your DNA and getting your own genetic profile super easy. All you do is you order your testing kit from their site, it's mailed out to you, you take a simple saliva test, send it back to their lab, and within a couple of weeks, you will get a breakdown of your genetic health with over 90 plus reports on your DNA and how you can make improvements to your health on the deepest levels, all laid out in an easy, user-friendly mobile application. Mudo has revolutionized my health, my clients' health, and my family's health. Actually, my dad has got off all of his medication after implementing the guidance in his genetic report from his DNA test with Mudo Health. That's why I've teamed up with Mudo to help the listeners of the Kinetic Fitness Show improve their DNA health as well. They are offering all listeners of this show an amazing 20% off any DNA kit purchase. Simply hit the link in the description and add your kit to the basket and use the code ALDNA at checkout. That's ALDNA, A-L-D-N-A, ALDNA at checkout to bag your incredible discount. Okay, let's get started with today's episode and introduce my guest today. My guest this week is Brian Goll. Brian is a biohacker, founder of Heavy, and co-founder of Red Light Rising. Brian has a real passion for wellness and he loves to talk about it. Red light therapy is one of his favorite biohacks with which he has noticed wonderful benefits. That's why he decided to co-found Red Light Rising, using his passion for sharing the principles of wellness and spreading the word about red light therapy. After nearly 12 years of exploring wellness and exercise in all of its forms, he settled down into a vegetarian diet for 7 years, under the impression that it was the healthiest way to eat. After suffering various degenerative conditions, mostly in the form of constant debilitating joint pain and serious digestive issues, he finally relented to the fact that his diet may have been playing a role in his failing health. That's when he discovered the bulletproof diet and biohacking. Fast forward 4 years and Brian is back on track, healthy and stronger than he has ever been in his life, mostly thanks to a low carb, high fat diet and the variety of biohacks that he practices every single day, including, of course, red light therapy. In late 2019, Brian decided to start another business in the strength equipment industry to make the kind of equipment that he would actually like to use. And then Heavy was born. So what will you learn about in today's episode and what are some of the key takeaways? Well, firstly, Brian shares his story in a lot more detail and goes on to explain how he found Red Light Therapy and founded Red Light Rising. You will learn what red light is and the science of how it works. You will learn the differences between red light and other spectrums of light. You'll find out about blue light and circadian rhythms. Brian explains the recommended doses for red light therapy. You'll learn about blue light blocking glasses. You will learn how and why blue light is so damaging to your overall health. You'll also find out how red light therapy can combat all the negative effects of blue light. You'll learn about red light panels. You'll also learn why you shouldn't combine red light therapy with other biohacks. Brian shares his 3 top tips to help you improve your overall health and well-being plus much, much more. This episode is so educational, so informative, and I learned so much and I was blown away by some of the effects that red light therapy can have on your well-being. But also, I did know that blue light was really bad for you, but I didn't know how bad it was. And Brian explains the detrimental effects that blue light can have on your health and on your sleep and on other areas of your health and well-being in this episode today. So I know you're gonna love this episode. I loved recording it. Brian's so knowledgeable. He's so passionate about not just red light, but also health and well-being as a whole. So I know you'll get so much value and so much information from this episode. As always, if you do enjoy today's episode, please like and follow and share this podcast with others. And also leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can leave me a review. I love reading them and they help me to grow and inspire more people. That's it. Let's get stuck into today's episode. This is episode 111 with Brian Goll of Red Light Rising. Enjoy. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. How are you doing, mate?
Not so bad, brother. Thank you so much for the invitation. Really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. I'm looking forward to this one. It's a topic that I'm very interested in, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be as well. Before we get into it and before I ask some of the questions that I'd like to ask, would you be able to share a little bit of your story with the listeners so we can get a bit of context to who you are, what you do, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So my name is Brian Goll, and I am one of the co-founders of a UK company called Red Light Rising. And we specialize in red light therapy devices and a number of other kind of lifestyle and wellness related products. And, you know, I think you and I are very similar in a way. You know, we are both kind of very much focused on kind of developing our own potential. And, you know, for me, this kind of started, you know, it started seriously probably when I was about 30 years old. I'm 37 now, but it started very, very slowly when I was about 15 years old. You know, I was interested in the gym and working out and developing muscle. And that kind of, you know, tends to naturally lead to protein shakes and, you know, macros, and then eventually some dieting and this and that. And by the time I got to my early 20s, I had, you know, I came across some animal cruelty videos, and it really, you know, upset me. And, you know, I decided then in my early 20s that I wasn't going to be part of, you know, eating meat or being in the meat industry. So I went vegetarian, and I was, you know, threw myself into vegetarianism, you know, like head first, and did a lot of reading. But, you know, I realize now, looking back, I was doing all my reading on Facebook, which, you know, is not, you know, most of the stuff you see on Facebook isn't true. But anyway, that's where I got all my my so-called education on vegetarianism. And I was a very, very good vegetarian in terms of, you know, I took all the supplements and all the green powders and all the smoothies and the juices, and I ate all the tubers and the nuts and the seeds. But I was slowly getting sicker and sicker as my vegetarian, you know, experience went on. I was vegetarian for about 7 years, and I was pretty much sick from the first month of vegetarianism till the last day of it. I experienced severe joint pain and severe digestive issues. I lost so much strength in my body. I could, you know, I nearly got to the point where I had to quit my job. I was working as a carpenter, and, you know, I just couldn't lift stuff anymore. I couldn't grip stuff. I couldn't grab stuff. I couldn't twist something if I needed to twist something. My joint pain was so severe. And then I, you know, kind of serendipitously stumbled across something called the Bulletproof Diet by a guy called Dave Asprey. And, you know, Dave Asprey and a lot of people now are talking about low-carb, high-fat diet. And they're also talking about, you know, the importance of eating meat. And I kind of read this and I thought, wow, maybe that's the missing thing, you know. I realized that my health started deteriorating when I quit eating meat. But one of the other things that Dave Asprey also talks about is something called biohacking. And, you know, I kind of sometimes still refer to biohacking as being on the extreme cutting edge of wellness. So it's, you know, it's stuff that people don't always, you know, consider to be a kind of a wellness habit. And some examples of that is, you know, like the sauna or cold therapy or fasting. And one of the other things that Dave Asprey talks about a lot, or was talking about a lot, was red light therapy. So, you know, I got to the stage where I'd incorporated fasting, I'd started eating meat again, I started using cold therapy, I started, you know, using heat therapy like saunas. And then I was at the point where I was ready for red light therapy. But at that time, you know, this is probably about 5 years ago now, at that time, there was only one company producing red light therapy panels and products, and they were so expensive that I just, you know, I wasn't prepared to invest in it at that point. And then a good friend of mine, James, who's the other co-founder of Red Light Rising, we decided to see if we could make our own lights. We did our own research and put our first panels together and started using them. I remember it was in the middle of winter. I was still living in London and I was very, very miserable. I was in a very, very bad mood. I guess I was depressed on certain levels. And within a couple of weeks of using the red light therapy, I noticed that my mood had significantly increased. I noticed that I had less joint pain. I seemed to have more energy. And when I spoke to James, he had exactly the same experience. He'd experienced wonderful benefits. And that's kind of when we looked at each other and thought, well, maybe we should, you know, try and start a little company here and share the good message of red light therapy. And that's how Red Light Rising was born. And this is where we are today.
Amazing. Love it. Great story. And it's interesting the transition that you've been through from going from vegetarian back to eating meat and then getting on this biohacking journey. And I think a lot of people that get into biohacking and go deeper with their health, they have similar stories. So it's really great to hear that story of yours and the transition that you've made. The point I want to start with really, Brian, is there'll be people listening to this and they'll be like, well, this red light stuff sounds good, but what the hell is red light therapy? So could you just maybe start with a bit of context for people that don't really know what it is, what red light therapy actually is and how it works?
Sure, absolutely. So the first thing, I'll describe the therapy itself, and then I'll describe the science behind it and why it works. So when we speak of red light therapy, what we're actually talking about is it's simply standing in front of very, very big, very, very bright and powerful red light devices. So these devices, they give off a very, very bright red light. And they also give off something called near infrared light. So this is maybe something we'll get into a little bit later on. So when we're speaking of red light therapy, we're actually talking about the red light, which you actually see it manifest as red light. So, you know, when you're scrolling around on Instagram and you see someone that is using red light therapy, it's a very, very bright red light and everything looks red and it looks kind of cool. And then there's also that near infrared light, which is it's invisible light, but it's very, very powerful. So what you do when you take red light therapy is you just take off as much clothes as possible. You know, you stand as naked as possible and you just let the light land on your body. You let your body and your skin and your cells absorb the light. And this is when the good stuff happens, you know. So when our bodies absorb light, so our bodies are quite photoreceptive, right? They're quite photosensitive. And the easiest kind of metaphor for that is that, you know, you go out in the sun, you get a suntan, or if you're out there for too long, you get sunburn. That's your skin reacting to the light. And that's your body reacting to the light. So what scientists accidentally figured out in the early 1900s or so was that, you know, red light actually affects the human body in very, very positive ways. So what happens is the red light penetrates your skin and near infrared light is actually able to penetrate deep into your body. And it goes to about a depth of about 2 inches or 5 centimeters into the body. Okay. And when it does that, we've discovered through the help of science is that our cells absorb the light and two very, very important things then happen inside our cells. And the first thing that happens is that our cells are stimulated and they produce more cellular energy. So I'm sure some of your listeners will be familiar with something called the mitochondria. Now, the mitochondria is the energy producing organelle inside each one of our cells. So we have billions of cells throughout our body. Our skin is made of cells. Our eyes are made of cells. Our muscles, our bones, our blood, our brain, everything is made of cells. And all those cells have thousands of mitochondria inside them. Now, these mitochondria are the energy powerhouses of the cell. So when the red and infrared light penetrates the body, it penetrates the cells and it gets absorbed by these tiny, tiny little mitochondria. And when that happens, they have an increase in cellular energy production, which is the first major benefit of red light therapy. And then the second major benefit of red light therapy is that it also stimulates a release of natural anti-inflammatories, which get released from the cell, they go into the blood, and then these natural anti-inflammatories circulate around the body. And of course, they contribute to reducing inflammation throughout the body. So that sounds, you know, I'm not sure how that sounds actually, you know, I talk about it so much, so it sounds straightforward to me. But the key point and the key thing that I always like to have people imagine and have people think about is that when these two things happen in your body, and when they happen on a regular basis, so let's say you do red light therapy every morning, like which is what we suggest. When you do red light therapy every single morning, you're getting that increase in cellular energy production every morning. You're getting an increase in natural anti-inflammatories every morning. And when those two things happen, whether they happen in the skin, the muscles, the bones, the blood, the organs, what you find is that almost everything gets better, because when everything has more energy and when there's more natural anti-inflammatories flowing through the body, everything just heals better. Everything functions better. And it can for a lot of people be a very, very powerful experience. Does that make sense to you, Ellie?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And the mitochondria is something that we, as you say, we've spoken about that a few times on this show. And ultimately, I think people are, well, the most people would want to live healthier and live longer. And by utilizing this method of red light therapy, those two things are not a given, but that you're going to have more chance of living healthier and living longer if you're increasing your mitochondria and you are increasing your anti-inflammatory levels, because we all know that inflammation can lead to disease and disease is what kills us. My next question really is, other than the colors, so what is the difference between the different lights? Because obviously we're speaking about red light, but we've obviously got blue light, yellow light, green light. So what is the main differences other than the colors, and why would one choose the red light over maybe some of the others, the other colors of the spectrum?
Okay, so that's a great question, and it's a very important question, and the answer is very important, because one of our personal passions, both James and I, is educating people about the importance of light. Okay, so red light therapy is, you know, a very, very important aspect of light, because it's an amazing hack. Okay, because red and near infrared light comes from the sun. Right. So, you know, the red, you can't see the red light, because when all the colors are mixed, then they turn white, you know, which is what sunshine is. But obviously everybody's familiar with the colors of the rainbow. That's refracted light. That's when the light gets split up and you get to see the individual colors. They're all very, very important, but red and infrared light are one of the most important types of light that come from the sun. You know, blue light's very important. UV light is very important for vitamin D. But red light is profoundly very, very important for those exact reasons I've mentioned, that energy production and that anti-inflammatory benefits. So you can get it from the sun. It's obviously going to be much, much, much weaker. And you also then, you know, if you try and get your red light therapy from the sun, you're also going to be getting very, very high doses of UV, which when it's very high doses, you know, you start to move into the sunburn and skin damage and DNA damage and all that. So the one main difference, should I say, is that near infrared light in particular is able to penetrate the body to depths that no other light can. Okay, so I mentioned that 5 centimeters depth, okay, 2 inches. So if you think about 2 inches going into your body, that's deep. You know, that's through your skull into your brain, that's through your chest into your organs. That's deep. It's deep into, you know, if you think about the thickest, biggest muscle on the body, you know, the glute or the quad, you know, that's deep into the glutes, that's into the hips, you know. So that's something very, very important, because all other light is reflected by the skin, or it gets absorbed by the cells in the very, very top, like 1 or 2 millimeters of the skin. Okay. So it's not penetrating the body at all. So another difference I'd like to mention is that red light is generally healthier for the skin, because it doesn't go as deep as near infrared light. So red light is really good for the skin, really good for the eyes, really good for the eyes, really good for hair, everything that's kind of on the surface that's easy for the red light to get to. And the near infrared light for me is the exciting one, because that goes into the brain and it does amazing work in the brain. It goes deep into the muscles, deep into the joints, it goes into the organs. And that's where, you know, in my opinion, that's where all the, you know, that's where the real good work is, in the organs, the glands, the brain. But then the other colors of the light that you mentioned, you know, so I'm sure you've probably spoken about this already. If not, I'm sure you will soon, is blue light. Okay. Blue light is important early in the morning. Early in the morning, you need to see blue and white light. You need bright light that wakes you up, that gets your circadian rhythm going, that lets your body know, hey, it's daytime. It's time to work. It's time to move. It's time to get up. It's time to have energy. But when you take blue light in the evening via your cell phone or your laptop or your Netflix or your, you know, cheap light bulbs overhead, you're taking in way too much blue and white light at a time of the day where your body has not evolved to be receiving those signals. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah, 100%. And this is really, really important. So let's carry on with the blue light, because I think it's an area that not enough people know about, and it plays havoc with people's circadian rhythms and also their sleep patterns, which is tied into circadian rhythms anyway. So exactly. Yeah, let's keep going with the blue light.
We need to, in my opinion, and you know, my knowledge and my experience, we need to think of our day-to-day lives in the context of circadian rhythm, right? And the circadian rhythm is that roughly 24-hour clock, which is, you know, situated deep in our brain, which is always counting down. It's constantly counting. And it sends signals to the rest of the body. It sends signals to the muscles to work harder or produce more power. It sends signals to the glands to produce certain kinds of hormones at certain times of the day. It sends signals to the, you know, the organs to digest or detox or, you know, secrete insulin, whatever it's supposed to do. And the way that we can, you know, people often talk about resetting the circadian rhythm. And I just hope that people understand what that means. So when we say resetting the circadian rhythm, your brain is constantly looking for signals as to what time of day it is and what part of, you know, of the day you're in and what processes need to be going. So here's the example I like to draw. If we, you know, look back at our evolution a couple million years ago, I mean, you know, a couple thousand years ago, we had no electricity, no artificial light. The only light that we had was from the sun and from fire. Okay. So the sun, as we mentioned, is the full spectrum of light. If you imagine, you know, a caveman or a, you know, a bushman, whatever you want to say, wakes up in the morning, usually wakes up with the sunrise, because it's the sun that wakes you up. You know, you sleep in the darkness, and as soon as the first bit of light comes, your body senses that and you wake up. Okay. So then your eyes are open. Then you go about, you know, your morning, preparing for the day, whatever. And you get that morning sun, you get it in your eyes. Okay, that's very important. The blue light enters through your eyes and it goes back to your brain, and your brain registers that white or blue light and it registers that sunrise. And then your brain knows, okay, it's morning time. I know I've just been asleep for 8 or 10 hours. Now I see this bright light. So now it's morning. So now I start the adrenaline, the cortisol. I wake myself up. I'm hopefully in a good mood. I'm primed to do work. And then you go throughout your day. And as you're going throughout your day as a caveman or whatever, the sun is obviously moving across the sky. And as it's moving across the sky, it's very, very subtly changing colors. So it's going from the very bright white, well, the very bright kind of, well, beg your pardon. It starts off, of course, with, you know, the sunrise colors, which is the oranges and the yellows and the reds. Then it goes into the bright blues as it heads over midday, and then 2 p.m., 3 p.m. And then, of course, it starts to set again. And then it starts to soften. And it then goes more yellow and then orange and then red. And, you know, of course, most of us love sunsets and sunrises. And then we see these beautiful oranges and reds in the evening. And then your brain goes, that's another marker for your brain. Your brain goes, okay, I saw the red light in the morning. Then I saw bright light all day. And, you know, and roughly 10 or 12 hours later, I saw the red light of the sunset. That must mean I've gone through a whole day and now it's time to sleep. And then your brain changes all its chemistry and it gets you ready for sleep by pumping the melatonin. That melatonin goes into your blood and then tells all your organs and all your muscles that it's now bedtime and they should start repairing and healing. And, you know, going through all the nighttime processes. So that's the natural way we're supposed to be exposed to light. In that order, every single day, at almost exactly the same time every day, because that's how we have evolved with that pattern of light through those hours every day. And as you said, now in the modern world, we've got, you know, we're lying awake watching Netflix until midnight. We've got an abnormal amount of blue and bright light around us all the time. So our bodies are just constantly thinking, is it still midday? You know, I woke up 8 hours ago, but I'm still seeing this very, very bright light from my TV or my cell phone or my overhead light. It must still be midday. But then you suddenly switch off all the lights and you try and get to sleep at 11 p.m. at night, and your brain is like, well, now it's suddenly dark. What happened to the sunset? What happened to that whole process? Then your brain is to produce enough melatonin to get your body into the needed state of sleep that it's, you know, supposed to have every night. Of course, if you carry on this pattern day in and day out for 50 years, you're on the road to potentially suffering massive health consequences.
I've done at least 3 podcasts on this show about sleep, and a lot of this stuff has come up, so it's great to go over it again. And the thing that kept coming into my head is, obviously we're talking about different spectrums of light, but really focusing on the red light. The thing that kept coming into my head as you were speaking, Brian, was it's all about getting the different spectrums in the right doses. So can you like overdose on red light? Can you do it too much?
You can do it too much, but it will never become damaging.
Okay.
Right. So the current thinking is that, you know, if you were to fall asleep under your red light device and sleep under it for 8 hours, then we don't know what's going to happen, because no one's ever done that. But, you know, in the context of red light therapy, it never, ever needs to be longer than 30 minutes, okay? And the only thing that happens if you do, you know, for whatever reason, if you're not sufficiently educated and you go over the 30 minutes and you have too much of a dose, you just start to lose the benefits, okay? So it's like, you know, it's called the biphasic dose, you know, which is something that exists in exercise, that exists in fasting, it exists in, you know, in sauna therapy. So from zero to a certain amount of the dose is good. And when you hit that ideal dose point, but you go over it, then you just start to lose the benefits. So then you're just wasting time, right?
Yeah.
So there's no negative side effects associated with red light therapy. It's just pointless spend. You know, it's not a case of more is better. It's a case of get just the right amount, which is actually not very much. It's only, you know, 20 to 30 minutes a day, and then you're done.
Nice, nice. Let's talk briefly then about the glasses, because I've got a set of your blue light blocking glasses. Your glasses, what percentage of blue light is blocked out? How, again, do the glasses help, and what are some of the benefits? I mean, I can share my benefits with the listeners as well. I've really noticed improvements in my sleep since getting your glasses. So can you talk about the glasses in a little bit more detail? Because we have obviously spoken about the panels, which we will touch on a little bit more later on, but the glasses, let's talk about the blue light blocking glasses.
Perfect. So yeah, the glasses, as you said there, it's kind of called blue light blocking. And this is a practice, you know, this is a habit that we really like to encourage people to get into. And the glasses is one of the ways you can do it, right? So it's one of the easiest ways you can do it, because you don't really have to then, you know, go around changing light bulbs in your house and putting filters on your computers and putting filters on your TVs. You could put the filters on your face, right? So they're just normal glasses. You put them on your head, and we have two different lenses at this point. So I know I've seen you with the red lenses, pro glasses. So what these lenses do is there's a yellow and there's a red one. So what they do is they filter out the light out of a spectrum of light, right? And the most harmful spectrums of light in excess, in terms of keeping our brain awake and overstimulating us and ruining our sleep, is blue and green light. Okay, so the yellow lenses, which people will see if they, you know, they can Google blue blocking glasses or it's our website, the yellow lenses will block out 95% of blue light. So these are ideal if you are, let's say you're an office worker, okay, you're all day. So you're staring at your computer, you're getting very, very bright light coming out of your computer, and it's not balanced. That's a very important key. It's not balanced light. It's not replicating the balance that comes from the sun. It's that computer screens tend to be quite high on the blue and green spectrum. So you're getting inundated with this blue light. And especially if you start working into the afternoon or into the evening, where your brain is expecting there to be a drop off of blue and green light as the hours move by, but of course there isn't, because you're still staring at your computer, then you put these yellow lenses on and they will block out 95% of the light, which in the first instance, what that'll do is it'll just be a lot more relaxing for your eyes. You'll have less eye strain, less eye fatigue, and you'll also have less mental fatigue, because when you look at the computer screen or you look at your cell phone, this light energy goes into your eyes, penetrates the cells, and the cells of your eyes have to work on it. You know, they have to process this energy, process these signals, then send it back to the brain and say, okay, this is what I'm receiving. And then the brain goes, okay, well, this seems to be midday light. It's so bright. And this takes a lot of work, you know. So the first thing most people will notice is that they feel less fatigue on the eyes and less fatigue in the brain. And then, like you say, if you then kind of continue the habit of wearing the blue blocking glasses as you move closer to bedtime, we then recommend that people then put the red lens on. Now, the red lens blocks out 100% of blue and green light. So as soon as you put those lenses on, your brain thinks it's pitch black or near enough pitch black. Okay. And then the only time in nature when your brain will see only red is, you know, is pretty much the last bit of sunset, when there's almost, you know, it's almost dark and there's just that last little glow of red sunset, and then it's black after that. Red light does not affect your circadian rhythm negatively. In fact, it's a very, very powerful marker, as we mentioned earlier. So you use the red lenses, you will cut out all that blue and green light, 100% of it, but you can still see, you can still function, you can still do things. It gives you a nice buffer, right? So I personally use my red lenses. Well, actually, I go to sleep very, very early, so that's probably a bad example to draw. But for normal people who go to sleep at like 10:30 p.m., we recommend that they start wearing their red lenses around 8 p.m., right? So hopefully most of your chores are done, you've hopefully finished dinner, and you're just kind of hanging out, relaxing in the house. Then you put on the red lenses, you can still function, you can light, it starts to produce melatonin. And then 2 hours later, when you put your head on the pillow at 10 p.m., you've already got melatonin coursing through your blood, your eyes are relaxed, your brain is relaxed, and most people will see a significant improvement in their sleep just from wearing these glasses. Does that make sense, Ellie?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I've noticed that firsthand. I mean, I've never really had trouble with sleeping. I've been a person that's always managed to sleep quite well. And then in the last 3 to 5 years, I've really gone deep on sleep, doing research, reading books, listening to podcasts, and really trying to harness and hone my sleep and tracking it and all that stuff. But everyone was always saying, get the red light glasses or the blue blocking glasses to me. And I was like, oh, is it going to make that much of a difference? And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, is this placebo? The first couple of times I was like, no, surely not. And then honestly, it's just made a massive difference. I'm getting more deep sleep. I'm getting more REM sleep. I'm having more dream recall. I'm waking up feeling fresher. So I can't recommend the glasses enough. And I mean, for the price, that's another thing to point out about you guys. I think your pricing on all of your products is really reasonable. So anyone listening into this just needs to go and get themselves some glasses and a panel.
Like you say, the glasses especially, you know, I mean, the panels are a bit more of an investment. So we'll actually talk about that in a second. But the glasses, it's an easy win, man. It's such an easy win. You don't have to, like, I mean, because what I do, I'm pretty extreme, right? So I've got light bulbs. I've changed the light bulbs in my house. So, you know, after dark, I switch on and everything's red anyway. And then I use my blue blockers because I mess around on the computer or the iPod or the Instagram for a while. So I use the glasses anyway. But for most people, you know, that aren't as obsessed as we are, they're not going to change their light bulbs. They're not going to get special light bulbs. So just get the glasses, man. And, you know, in my experience and all the stories I've heard from night one, you sleep better. And the reason that you sleep better from night one is because you completely eliminate that toxic light, and you allow your brain to produce the sleep hormones that you have evolved to produce and to absorb. So it's, you know, it's not like a, you know, it doesn't work for some people. Some people react negatively. Like, I mean, you know, barring certain genetic deficiencies or whatever, it's a no-brainer for most people.
Yeah, for sure. Before we move on to the panels and before we dive into the research, because I want to talk to you about research as well. When it comes to the blue light, how bad is this blue light, particularly late on? Like, what's the research showing with blue light? How dangerous is it for our health?
It's a big energy consumer. It's a big cellular energy consumer. So, you know, like it's quite damaging to the eyes, you know? So it's, you're getting all this blue, artificial blue light. And the reason why it's so toxic actually is because it's in such high amounts now. Because I know you'll remember a few years, you know, maybe a decade or 15 years ago, it's when LEDs became cheap and suddenly everybody changed their old school light bulbs, they changed them to LEDs. So you can have one LED and it lights up the whole room and it's wonderful. It's this very bright white light, sort of overwhelming. And this is so unnatural because you're getting mostly blue light and then very, very little colors from the rest of the spectrum. Okay. So that means your body's getting inundated with this blue light and it's very stressful for your cells. Every single cell in your body then has to process it. And in that processing, you produce a lot of free radicals. And these free radicals is what goes around your body and then can further, you know, potentially contribute to illness and disease. So, you know, to draw a comparison, you know, if you eat a lot of junk food, you produce a lot of free radicals and they just start causing havoc, you know, throughout your body. And in the context of blue light, how this manifests, firstly, is the sleep disruption that we mentioned. It's also the eye damage and the eye fatigue. Right. So if you fatigue your eyes every day for hours and hours and hours because of this blue light, it's eventually going to lead to eye damage. and you start to see an increase in the chances of cataracts, an increase in the chances of molecular degeneration of the eyes. And then that also goes back to your brain, you know, because you, this harsh light energy needs to go back to your brain, and your brain then also has to deal with this unnatural balance, and there's the risk of the free radicals in your brain as well. But it's also damaging to the skin. So I saw, you know, an article quite a while ago now, actually, there's this new condition coming around where people are prematurely aging in their faces because we're all staring at our computers and our cell phones for, you know, 10 hours a day, you know, some people. And it's because of this unnatural amount of blue light and this unnatural amount of free radicals that are being inadvertently produced in all the cells of the body that's then producing, it's resulting in this like graying of the skin, the skin damage, these fine lines, these wrinkles, and you just start to look, you know, tired and haggard. And it's, you know, that's a real problem if you think about it, you know, on a chronic level.
Yeah, definitely. There's two things I want to touch on quickly off the back of what you've just said, mate. And the first one's a bit of an out there question, and then I'll ask the second one. The first one is, do you think maybe in, let's say, hypothetically 50 years, we'll be talking about blue light in the same way that we now talk about maybe cigarettes and alcohol and those kind of things, how damaging that is to our health? Do you think we'll be talking about blue light in the same way in 50 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. 100%. Because it takes, you know, it takes 20, 30 years before people go, holy cow, look what's happened. And then they go, how did that happen? And they go, oh my God, it was the LEDs. Oh, we didn't realize. Oh my God, it was the computer screens. Ah, you know, so, I mean, you can just look now. I'm pretty sure if you open your cell phone or your laptop and you mess around with the screen settings, there's going to be a setting on there that says, you know, limit blue light or eliminate blue light or put more red light in. It's because, you know, people, we know it's happening. You know, the science is already a decade old, but it just takes, you know, first it takes 50 studies to come out before someone in the mainstream goes, oh, hang on, maybe we should, you know, mention this to someone. Unfortunately, science is a very, very slow, you know, it's very slow to come into the mainstream. But as just like with, you know, anything else that we surround ourselves with, there's things you can do to minimize the effects, right? So, you know, in the context of working on your computer or your cell phone for too long, you know, you can put some filters on your computers, and there's some really good ones and they're free. So you just got to search for this one that I use called F-Lux or Flux, F-L-U-X. That's a free kind of little app for your computer and your phone that'll eliminate the blue light for you. You can then, of course, get the blue blockers like we mentioned, but you can also then light up the rest of your environment in red light, right? So it might not benefit your skin so much, depending on, you know, what light you're using, but at least then your eyes are getting red light as well. Or, you know, more colors of the spectrum. So they're getting the blue light from the computers, but they're also getting that red light, which is it's a far more natural mix of light to receive, and that'll contribute to less eye fatigue and less, you know, mental fatigue. But red light therapy reverses all the damage of blue light, which is amazing. You know, so there was a study that came out last year out of a university, a college in London, where they discovered that not only laser, but 3 minutes of red light therapy in the eyes has been shown to improve the symptoms of macular degeneration. And macular degeneration is, you know, exacerbated by too much blue light. And the same goes with your skin. When you're exposing your skin to these unnatural wavelengths, red light therapy repairs it. And why does it repair it? Because the cells get more energy and they release anti-inflammatories. And these anti-inflammatories go around and they can scavenge up all the free radicals and then start to repair the damage that's been done. So it's like balancing the seesaw, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you answered my second question I was going to ask, because I was going to ask, can red light therapy help improve eyesight? Because I'm fascinated by the eyesight thing, and I'm I suffer from short-sightedness or nearsightedness, and I'm sort of like -275 in one eye, -225 in the other. And one of my goals for the next couple of years is to try and cure my eyesight naturally, so I can stop wearing glasses, stop wearing contact lenses. Mm. And I was going to ask you, can it improve eyesight? But you kind of answered that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a exciting, there's plenty of studies, by the way. You know, I've been researching this myself for a couple of months now, because since that study that I just mentioned came out, of course, people started emailing us and saying, oh, have you got something for the eyes? Have you got something for the eyes? And, you know, we had no intentions of doing it, but then people kept asking and we thought, well, okay. So we have a specific light coming out actually this month, which is specifically focused for eye health. Which is very, very exciting. Now, I don't recall seeing any studies about nearsightedness, but, you know, from all the reading that I have done, I'm pretty sure that it's going to benefit you, because, you know, it keeps circling around back to the reason why red light therapy works. You know, I get emails all day. Is red light therapy good for this? Is red light therapy good for that? Is it good for this? Can I use it for that? And the answer is always yes. And the reason the answer is always yes, you know, people get suspicious when you tell them red light therapy is good for everything. But the reason it's good for everything, again, it's the cellular energy and the anti-inflammatories. You know, like you said earlier, a decline in energy production and an increase in inflammation leads to all things bad, right? So when you do what you can to increase energy production and increase natural anti-inflammatories, you heal all things bad. And so that's why the red light therapy works. Now, something I would like to say actually is, you know, I'm always cautious about telling people to run out and go and buy red light therapy, okay? Because it can be quite a significant investment for a lot of people. So what I say is, have you got your diet right? Are you eating right for you? Are you exercising? Are you sleeping good? Are you spending less time on your devices? Are you spending more time outside in the sun? Are you fasting? You know, are you taking cold showers? Are you taking a sauna whenever the opportunity comes out? And if people aren't doing all those things, then I say, start with that. Most of those things are free. Most of them are cheap. And once you've got all of those as part of your routine, then you're ready for red light therapy. Because, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't go straight to red light therapy. I did all the free stuff first. I did all the easy stuff first. And then I got that under my belt. And now, you know, it's kind of like you've got to earn your red light therapy.
Yeah. And ultimately, Brian, sorry to interrupt you, but ultimately you've done the work on yourself first before you went to the bells and whistles or the fancy stuff. And I think the big problem is people want this instant fix, this instant gratification, and they're not prepared to do that initial work. But me and you are probably examples of two people that have done that work. We've done the basics, the fundamentals, and you said the free stuff, and then we can move on to the more exciting fancy stuff further down the line. But if you haven't got the foundations in place, it's kind of not irrelevant, but you're missing out on that base first.
Exactly. It's that low hanging fruit. You know, cold showers is the ideal one. You know, in the UK, everybody's got cold water right now. You know, almost everyone has a shower, I'm sure. So, you know, before you go and drop any money on some technology, just get yourself, you know, around the showers, the cold showers and the sleep. You know, do what you can about your sleep. But that's perfect right there.
Yeah, let's just briefly touch on the panels then. So you've got different types of panels, different sizes, different devices. Can you just fill us in with some information on the different types and how they differ and what's maybe a good entry point for people?
Yeah, so we do have a quite a big range of lights, and the main difference between all the lights is the size, right? So we have our cheapest option right now is a small spotlight, which is, you know, it's actually quite a big spotlight compared to other spotlights, but that's called the Target Light, and that's got 12 LEDs. It's a fantastic device. You know, it fits into to any ordinary desk lamp or, you know, bedside lamp. So you can kind of plug it in there, or, you know, it does come with a cable, of course. And you just plug it in. It's handheld and you can get it on your wrist, on your elbow, on your face, on your brain, on your dodgy knee. It's kind of designed as a spot treatment that you can kind of move around and use it in that way. And then the lights go up in size and they go up in price as well, of course. And we've got everything for you know, someone like, you know, you and myself. We take our health very, very seriously. So we would probably go for a much bigger panel. Now, the reason why someone would want a much bigger panel is because, as mentioned, that, you know, when your body is exposed to this red light and it absorbs this red light, it gets those energy benefits. But if you expose your whole body or a much bigger part of your body to this red light, you then have way more cells absorbing the red light and producing that extra energy for you. So it's like, you know, you'll get great benefits from the target light, and you'll get even better benefits from a bigger device. So that's why we have
the red light therapy is an example of where bigger is better.
Bigger, yeah, exactly. Bigger actually is better, you know. And I was only saying to someone today, you know, the first thing people say to me, which light should I get? I say, which one can you afford? Because the bigger one you can afford is better, because you're going to get more benefits in less time. That's an important point as well, actually, is the bigger the lights get, the more powerful they are, which means when there's more power, you need less time to get a full dose, right? Because your body can only absorb so much light in one session. And if you've got a much less powerful light, it takes longer to absorb the maximum amount. But if you go much bigger, it's much less. So actually, with our biggest lights, you can get a full dose in about, you know, 8 to 10 minutes. And, you know, it's like you've had 2 liters of coffee afterwards. You're absolutely buzzing.
That leads me nicely into maybe like my last couple of questions. And the next thing that I want to ask is, I'm sure you do, and I'm sure a lot of people do. Do you combine the red light with other forms of biohacking, maybe at the same time or in intervals? And does that have an impact? Have you had any experience with that, or know any people that do like mix things together?
Yeah, so that's we don't recommend too much mixing, because so, you know, just for people that don't know, a lot of things that we've been talking about are hormetic stressors, right? So it's a hormetic stressor is something that temporarily harms your body or damages your body, like very, very acutely, very, very minutely, but it causes a biological reaction. Okay. So working out, lifting weights is a hormetic stressor. Exactly. But until we're sure, we're recommending that it's not advisable, right? Because if you do a sauna and red light therapy at the same time, if your body's too stressed, it just ends up being damaged and it doesn't come back stronger, right? So the things you can do together, though, is like meditating and red light therapy, yoga and red light therapy, reading and red light therapy. You can do some kind of foam rolling. Those you can do activities that aren't necessarily stressful for your body, you know. So we know that if you do cryo and then red light therapy, the cryo completely cancels out the red light therapy. So you've wasted your time. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah, makes sense. I got you. So yeah, it's the same, I guess, with any kind of hormetic stress. We don't want to do too much of it. As you said, don't overload. So for example, if you was going to do some HIIT training, you won't go and then do something else alongside it that's going to stress yourself out. So it makes sense for sure. The way I want to wrap this up then, Brian, is because I'm conscious of time. The way I want to wrap this up is how I wrap up a lot of my podcasts, which is giving the listeners some actionable steps that they can put into practice straight away. So after they've finished this podcast, as soon as they've done it, what kind of 3 tips would you give them to really improve their health and well-being on all levels? If you had to only give them 3 tips, what would they be?
The first one would be to get natural light, right? So, you know, red light therapy is a supplement to the sun, the sun is still number one. Okay. Even in the northern hemisphere, even in the winter, you have to go outside, because even on a cloudy day, the sunlight is much, much brighter than any other artificial light we have around us right now. So you have to get that bright light every day. It's going to wake you up. It's going to invigorate you. It's going to make you feel better. So number one is get some natural light. I think off the back of that, I would then say limit your artificial light in the evening. You know, I'm not saying go and buy the glasses. I'm not saying do anything like that. I'm just saying turn the lights down. Put the TV off. Put the phone down. Get some candles out. Just create a relaxing environment in your house in the evenings to help yourself wind down and to help your brain and your body relax for sleep. Because, you know, as you already stated and you know, sleep is absolutely vital. And then the third one, I guess the third one would have to be the cold therapy, you know, because, you know, these are all free. You know, I don't want to tell people to go and buy stuff and then start spending money. Get the free stuff done. So take some cold showers, you know, get uncomfortable, cultivate some discipline and force yourself to do something that is unpleasant at first. Now, this is the promise I'm going to make you. The cold shower is going to be awful, okay, especially in winter. It's going to be awful. But afterwards, you're going to be so invigorated. You're going to be so excited. You're going to be so proud of yourself. And that's huge. You know, those are such important little victories. So I think those are the three things I would recommend. Those are the three things I do every single day. And I recommend those.
Same. Excellent, excellent tips. And there's one you mentioned as well that I was going to mention earlier and I forgot, but you brought it up again, which is the candles. That is we mentioned light bulbs, which are a cheap fix, but candles, they're just so cheap. And we do that, my wife Sarah and I, we, once it gets to the sun gone down, sunset, we light the candles up and we just go by the candlelight, and then I slap on my red light glasses and everyone's a winner.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the candlelight goes back to the circadian rhythm thing and the evolutionary thing, because there's something about that flickering, dancing flame that gets us mesmerized.
Yeah, and it's that elemental thing as well.
Absolutely, you know, and my theory about that is because we've evolved for millions and millions of years of sitting at the fire at night, at the end of our day, and staring into those flames and watching them dance and absorbing those colors that come out of it. So that's why when you fill your room up with candles, you walk in and just go, oh my God, I feel so relaxed. This is so beautiful. The candles is a great shout.
Definitely. Awesome, Brian. I absolutely love that. Just a couple of things to wrap up, mate. Where can the listeners go to find out more about you and find out more about Red Light Rising?
Yeah, they can. A great place to start is our Instagram account, which is at Red Light Rising. Yeah, so they can go to the Red Light Rising account, and they can find both myself and my co-founder James. They can find our names in the bio there if they want to check us out. We both do a lot of things outside of red light therapy as well. James Strong, who's my business partner, is an incredibly interesting guy to concussion, which is a very, very big subject right now. And red light therapy is very, very good for concussion. So they can check us out there, and they can go to the website, of course, which is redlightrising.co.uk. And if anybody's got questions, they can message us on Instagram. They can message me personally. I manage both of those accounts, so I am usually answering most of the questions there. And that's it.
Awesome. Love it. We always end my podcast in the same way, Ryan, and that's with a favorite quote. So can you just give us a favorite quote to round out the show?
Yeah. His name is Les Brown. Fantastic personality. So good to listen to. I highly recommend that people find some Les Brown on YouTube. And he had a quote where he said, "Can I change the world? No. It's a full-time job changing myself." And that really, really stuck with me.
Love it. Thank you so much, Brian, for your time. And I wish you all the success with Red Light Rising and anything else that you do as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ali. It was an absolute pleasure.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.